T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time for Rod Bradford, Evan Drellick, and Chris Vellani on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, we lost Rod Bradford for a little while. Maybe that's addition by subtraction. Who knows? As we're welcoming in John Tomasi, who is actually out in Cleveland and just caught that Game 3 whooping that the Cavaliers laid on the Celtics last night. Tomasi, how you doing, bud?
You can never have two WEEI.com people in the same place at the same time. So
I'm starting to think that you're the same person. This is kind of a Bruce Wayne Batman thing you've got going on.
It's possible. The massive weight loss is kind of throwing that plan into tatters, though.
Awaken 180, just spoiling everything. Speaking of tatters, the Celtics after Game 3 last night, what were some of your big takeaways from what you watched live at Quicken Loans Arena?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things stood out. One was Terry Rozier after the game saying we needed this. You know, we needed to get our butts whooped, like they were starting to believe their own press clippings and all of the, you know, praise and everything they've been receiving for how great they are. And you have to step back and say, wait a minute, this is still a team that has a 7-man rotation. They're starting their 3rd-string point guard. They're playing the 3-time defending Eastern Conference champions. It probably wasn't going to be as easy as they made it look in the first 2 games, and you saw a totally different Cleveland team in Game 3. The one thing that I keep coming back to is how good the Celtics have been at bouncing back, and, you know, they got the easy shots in Games 1 and 2. They made Cleveland work for everything in those games, and then that script totally flipped in Game 3. I got to think the Celtics aren't going to let Cleveland just go backdoor for dunks and layups all night like they did last night, that we're going to see a very different Celtics team for Game 4 on both ends, and it wouldn't shock me at all if this thing comes back to Boston 3-1.
On the offensive end, it really seemed like early on they got out of sorts. I mean, the Marcus Morris, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart isolation jump shot game is just not what this team is about. I mean, did they talk about at all why they fell into that, why that seemed to happen really right from the beginning of the game?
Yeah, I think the big thing was Cleveland was really aggressive early on. Ty Lue said this, and Jaylen Brown talked about it as well. They recognize that Jaylen Brown is a really quick starter. You know, you go back to Game 2 when LeBron put up 21. Jaylen Brown had 14, and that kept the Celtics in the game. So Cleveland made a concerted effort to take him out of the game. And the Celtics like to go to him early. They like to get him going to the hoop. He couldn't even catch the ball in a position to do anything. You know, they were pushing him out beyond the 3-point line. He was covered. There was no open threes, nothing for him. So once they took him away, the Celtics got sort of sucked into that pull-up jumper game, and that is not who they are. You know, this series, there's been a lot of Al Horford inside. There's been a lot of ball movement. There's been a lot of Brown dive into the hoop, and it became an isolation game. And that's on Cleveland. You know, they credit Cleveland for that, for taking them out of what they wanted to do.
Safe to say we can maybe bury the Celtics don't need Kyrie Irving because they have Rozier narrative?
Yeah, I mean, that was stupid to begin with. You know, I mean, Rozier does give them more defensively, so there is that. But let's how quickly we forget, you know. Kyrie Irving 2 months ago was the heart and soul of this team, and he will be again, assuming he's healthy a few months from now. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like a team that has both of them if they can figure out how to do it. You know, Marcus Smart's restricted free agency is going to make that pretty challenging, I would guess. But, you know, I would like to see them just keep the arrangement they have in the backcourt with Rozier as the backup, not the starter.
When you look at the way LeBron came out last night, and this was something that I thought was a little bit surprising, you didn't get the LeBron James from that Game 6 at the Garden several years ago where, hey, I'm just going to take this team on my back and score. It really seemed like there was a concerted effort for him to be, passive might be the wrong word, but to get everybody else involved. And that was, I mean, it could come down to the simple fact that the Cavaliers hit shots, but that was something the Celtics didn't seem like they were prepared to deal with defensively.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't passive. He was passing, and he was setting guys up. And, you know, we ripped Ty Lue and I'm me, you know, among everybody for just being wildly outcoached. But you saw Cleveland make legitimate adjustments in that game, especially on offense. The Celtics are aggressive switching, so the Cavaliers were aggressive diving to the hoop every time there was a switch. And when there were mismatches, you saw Kevin Love on Marcus Smart in the post. You saw Tristan Thompson on Terry Rozier. Like, they were making a concerted effort to exploit that stuff. As far as LeBron goes, in, you know, being in facilitator mode, he tried the game six thing in game two. You know, he tried that, I'm going to come out here, put the team on my back, and that's that, and it didn't work. So I think he looked at it as, you know, I cannot win this series myself. Like, he, as great as he is, he cannot win the series himself, and so you have to get the other guys going. And you saw George Hill being really aggressive in the first quarter. You obviously saw them raining threes from everywhere. So that was LeBron recognizing that the only way to win is to get these other guys involved, and it worked.
I know that we don't do a lot of criticizing of Brad Stevens around these parts.
I can't hear you.
It was sort of swept aside with the way the game played out, but Yabusele in the first quarter, I mean, some of the rotations seemed odd last night from Stevens.
Yeah, that was desperation. That was recognizing already, you know, that things were going south. And as he put it, you know, they have such a tight rotation. They basically play seven guys. And so he recognized that we're going to need something from somebody else in game four. And so that was a way of sort of preemptively trying to figure out who that might be. Greg Monroe offensively is okay. Defensively, he's lost. I mean, you can just see he's too slow. So when they do their thing and he ends up switching onto somebody smaller and quicker, it's a game over, you know. And you saw in game two, he was in there for like a minute. I think he might have scored a basket, but then he got LeBron on a switch and just, you know, blown by him, and that was the end of that. So he's trying to figure out how they can extend their rotation a little bit. Yabusele, I'm sure you saw the play where Baines tried to slip him a pass. I don't know if he was supposed to cut baseline or if he was supposed to sink to the corner for a three, but whatever he did was wrong. And Baines was so hot, he was screaming at him. And I think they had the mic'd up thing later in the game, and Morris telling him, it's all right, it's all right. But, you know, Yabusele, I think he's probably got a long ways to go as far as winning his teammates' confidence.
We haven't mentioned the name Al Horford yet, which sort of mirrors what Horford did last night. But there wasn't even a shot attempt for him in the first quarter. He finishes 2-for-4. Is this more on Horford or more on the fact that you had three other guys there that were sort of black holes of basketball every time they got it and wanted to isolate and shoot a ton?
Yeah, I don't put this one on Horford. You know, I mean, he can't set up his own shot. I know he's a ball handler. I know he brings the ball up sometimes, but he needs to be set up in the post, or somebody needs to drive and kick. And when you're pulling up, you're not driving and kicking. And, you know, there was the one play where he did get the ball out of the three-point line and he tried to rush a three. And I think LeBron closed down on him, and he tried to pass. It ended up being a turnover, and then he followed LeBron on the other end. They were all over him. And, you know, Jaylen Brown mentioned it. I want to say Rozier mentioned it. The fact that Horford had zero shots, that means they screwed up. You know, that means the rest of the offense screwed up, because they have to get him involved early in the game.
John Tomasi out in Cleveland. What do you think, and I'm not necessarily even speaking about game four, but just in this series in general, what's more likely, that the Celtics are able to win a game at Quicken Loans Arena, or that the Cavaliers come into the Garden and win?
I would say the latter, unfortunately. I think, you know, the Celtics have been pretty bad on the road, and Cleveland has been through all of this before, you know, many, many times. And I know they have a lot of new pieces, but you still have LeBron, you still have Love, you still have J.R. Smith, you know, you still have Kyle Korver. There's guys who have been through these battles with them before. And so if you're asking me which team is more likely to steal a game, I would probably say Cleveland. I'm still predicting the Celtics to win, but I think game four is going to be tight.
Yeah, what kind of a response are you expecting tomorrow night? I mean, this is a situation that not all, but a lot of these Celtics players have not really been in. I mean, they've been through two postseason series already, including one against the Sixers where they lost a game, and one that went to seven against Milwaukee. But this is LeBron. This is the Cavaliers. They're on the road. It's a different animal. What are you expecting from them tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can literally make the case that this is the biggest game any of these Celtics, including Horford, have ever played, you know, because it's conference final. Last year they had no chance. We knew they had no chance. They stole game three. That was fun, but nobody was pretending that they were going to somehow win that series without Isaiah Thomas. this time around, you have a chance to win and go to the finals. Al Horford's never been in that position. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, none of these guys have ever been in that position. I think they're going to respond because it's what they've done all year. And Brad Stevens has, I'm paraphrasing, but basically said something to the effect of, you know, the fact that we don't know stuff helps us. You know, a lot of these guys, it's the first time they're seeing it, and so they have that sort of we don't know what we don't know, and so they're playing loose and free. And I still think they're playing with house money. I mean, the pressure is still on Cleveland. Like, you can't go down 3-1 heading back to Boston where the Celtics haven't lost yet and think that you're in good shape. So I feel like the Celtics will answer the bell because it's what they've done all year long.
Now, I know you have been listening to the show all morning, and that's why you just used the buzzword that has set Rob Bradford off.
He used it the wrong way, though.
All house money is not a phrase that Rob Bradford likes this morning.
No, John, let me explain, okay? My point was that people...
Bradford's back, by the way.
Yes. My point is, it's not... I know exactly how long it takes to run around Fenway Park and through Fenway Park. But my point was that people have invested themselves in this team in the last 3 or 4 days, in the last week, more than they have in years. And because of that, they'll still be a little bit of the oh well crowd. But there will be that disappointment that there wasn't going to be in Philadelphia series if they lost that. If there wasn't, certainly they lost the Milwaukee series. Because after going up 2-0, bearing LeBron James, a guy everyone loves to hate, that and being told that this is how it works. We have a team that actually beat the superstars. This is how Boston does it. And then if you come back and you lose a series, it's not so much about, oh, it's okay, we got Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving back next year. There is going to be a disappointment because, John, my point is that they in the last week, certainly in the last few days, people have riled themselves up into believing that this is an actual thing.
Yeah, but you know what? I still think if you ask people what they're more excited about, the next month or next season, I think most Celtics fans would say next season. I want to see what's the team going to do when Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward come back. I think most people are still thinking that way. That's why I think the house money thing is on the money. Sorry, Bob.
Woo-hoo.
But I think, here's my rebuttal. Is that it's two different things because this Celtics team isn't going to be like it is. This is the end of this Celtics team in that sense because you will have Kyrie Irving, you will have Gordon Hayward. That's a completely different team. That is the superstar team that everyone said that's how you win the NBA. If the Celtics are able to do this, people are going to be beating their chest, say, look at what we did.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that, but the idea, I think you just sort of said it, this team is a one-off. You know, this isn't the Celtics team that people are going to be rooting for after
this year. There's going to be disappointment.
Yeah, well, of course there'll be disappointment, but I don't think it's the kind of thing where, you know, it's not going to be like the Red Sox in 86 or something where you're like, oh my God, how did they blow this? I'm never going to get over this for the rest of my life. It's not going to be Magic's Baby Hook. I'm using all contemporary references.
Yes, you are. Well, we mentioned Cedric Maxwell going in the stands in Philadelphia.
These are disappointing times in Celtics history. I think people recognize this team is wildly overachieved. They shouldn't be where they are, and there's still a we're just enjoying the run aspect to all
number
of it.
One, it's your prerogative to be wrong. But number two, would you agree with me that there'll be more disappointment if they lose this one, then would have been in Philadelphia because a lot of people say, oh no,
you already agreed with you.
You've gotten deeper into the playoffs. It's even more house money. It's all fun and games, but there would be more disappointment if they lost this compared to Philadelphia.
Yeah, because nobody expected them to beat Philly, and so when they did, that amped up the expectations. Where all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute. Cleveland's just really got one superstar and one guy who's slowly getting him back.
I'm slowly getting you back on my side. I'm slowly getting you to my way of thinking. Yes, thank you.
I need to ask for a day off next week, so I just want to make sure that
you got a day off today in Cleveland. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to Celtics practice in like an hour.
That is not a day off.
Well,
that's
nothing,
my day off.
Nothing chases a Celtics practice like Winking Lizard. The Winking Lizard. I heard you talk with Mark James about all the, like, what do you do in Cleveland? And it is funny how you just keep defaulting to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, there's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but what's that neighborhood where all the bars are?
Flats.
Kind of near, yeah, the Flats. I liked that I mean, I was only there for the 1 week two summers ago, and I was going to delegates breakfast instead of Celtics practice, but I thought it was actually a decent little town.
The delegates breakfast is on my agenda.
Is that code?
The Texas one was particularly good, if you could find them.
Yeah, there's a casino up the street, so there's that.
Right downtown, yeah.
That doesn't take.
It looked like a really classy joint from what I saw.
It's really nice. It's really high class. It's high end.
As I'm running through the stands at Fenway Park, everyone's saying, are you hearing this interview? Are you hearing this interview? And so I guess it was a good interview, so good job by you guys.
No, I was aware of that. I assume that this would really create a lot of buzz. So you're welcome.
Moving the needle.
Do you have any? Any media before we let you go? Do you have any Media Stars nominees?
Media Star nominees.
It's coming up. We have to.
I know.
What?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. From Cleveland.
No. Yeah, me? Nothing from the Celtics really.
I asked Terry Rozier the question that made him say we got our butts.
I told you. We heard that. We played that sound with your voice on it.
I missed the opportunity to be like, I asked. That's what you're supposed to write when you ask a question in a press conference.
Yes.
Because that's how we get credit now.
TollWEEI.com.
Yeah, we do that.
Never mind the 16 other microphones that might have been in his face. He told TollWEEI.com.
Oh, you know who I might give a media star to? Bill Messina, the cameraman for, I want to say Comcast, but it's NBC Sports now. They did one of those, like, First of all, it's a very busy game experience here in Cleveland. They've got a hype man who's really loud in every single timeout, and they're constantly assaulting you with, like, piped-in music and T-shirt cannons and all that stuff. One of the things they do is they drop parachutes from the ceiling with, like, scratch tickets attached to them. I don't know what this is, but Moose caught one of them and ended up on the Jumbotron, and I missed snapping a picture of it by, like, milliseconds. And then it turns out that the scratch ticket you needed to redeem before halftime, which he didn't notice till after the game, so he got nothing. So I don't know if that makes him a star or not. There you go.
The bar for the media stars is really
low. Yeah, it's lowered quite a bit.
It's pretty well.
John Tomasi, WEEI.com. Enjoy the time in Cleveland. People can follow your coverage on WEEI.com, and have fun at Celtics practice later.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Be safe.
No.
Be safe?
Yeah, be safe. I say that to all my my employees, my coworkers. Be safe.
He's in Cleveland, not Syria. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Cleveland is the Syria of Midwest.
A lovely town.
Have you been to... You said you've been to Cleveland.
I was there for the Republican convention.
Okay, well, that was not a good representation of it. No.
There were a lot more Secret Service and police and state police than you might normally have.
And There's guns, but there's not those type of, like...
Oh, there were tons of guns.
Right. I know.
Guns everywhere.
But I'm saying, typically there are guns, but typically they're
guns. Tomasi was done with that conversation.
Typically they're guns, once I brought up guns.
Yeah, it's like, I'm out.
Yes. So, but it is, I heard them talk about Cleveland yesterday, and Tomasi knows because he's been there a bunch of times. For a city that they keep saying is revitalized, It's pretty desolate downtown. The great thing is everything's right there. The arena's right there. The casino's right there. The ballpark's right there. The bar that everyone goes to is right there.
The one bar.
The Wink and Lizard.
Well, I did like it better than Philadelphia, where I was the next week for the Democratic convention, because it was smaller. It seemed like everybody evacuated. I don't know what they thought was going to happen in Cleveland, but everybody left.
No, that's always how it is.
And maybe it is. But you could just easily walk from one place to the other. Philly was a mess to get around.
Yeah.
So that's why I like Cleveland.
And I heard
better.
Mark talk
Plus,
about...
some of the swag from the Republicans I thought was better.
Oh, I mean, is that a mystery?
I got an umbrella.
You can disagree with them, but they're always going to give better swag.
Umbrella that I still use. It's a very, very nice umbrella. In the swag bag.
It protects you from people throwing rocks at you.
Exactly.
But I heard Mark James say this, is that the city's going to fold up their tent when LeBron leaves. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, they have to take down the big poster of him like they did the last time. I don't think it's like building a ballpark at a city. Remember that era where it's like, if we build a ballpark, it's going to revitalize the city, because look at what it did in Baltimore. It doesn't work that way. Believe me. Cleveland's a perfect example of that.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. We'll get more of your phone calls coming up. You've been dying to talk JD Martinez all morning, so we'll do that. Media stars are at the end of the hour. We're here until Red Sox pregame. Volani and Bradfo from Fenway Park, Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to to Bradford, Drellick, and Villani on Sports Radio WEEI.
How long did it take until you felt really comfortable with your swing?
I still don't. this game is all about adjustments, man. You know, it's every day it's kind of like you're searching for that feel, you're searching for the swing. You know, I feel like the moment you think you have it all figured out, the game will humble you real quick.
Still a work in progress, Rob. Doesn't have it figured out.
Seems like he has it figured out.
Looks pretty figured out to me.
Is he going to win the... Could he win a triple crown?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Well, but you know what?
More than Mookie could.
Yeah, I mean,
better chance than Mookie.
The problem with Mookie in a triple crown is hitting leadoff. Yeah. And I still question the wisdom of that. He had a two-run homer last night, right? Sandy Leon was on. But you're not getting the kind of production out of the bottom of the lineup that Alex Cora saw, for example, in Houston last year that allowed George Springer to then do what he did as a leadoff hitter.
I agree with that. That I don't have a problem with Mookie Betts hitting leadoff, but if you do not get better production out of the guys leading into him, that's a problem. And it was a miracle the other night that he got to the plate with the bases loaded, because I think they pinch hit Mitch Moreland, he walks, you get to that place, but this is why he's hitting solo home runs.
Yeah.
So anyway,
he still has a lot of RBIs for a guy who's, and that's just a product of he's hitting 370.
Yeah, you hit doubles and home runs
and a lot of power.
RBIs,
yeah,
yes. But to go back to the JD Martinez thing, so the Frank Thomas went on Fox. I had to look this up. I couldn't remember where he was. Do you know where Frank Thomas is?
Fox Sports.
Went on Fox Sports and they did one of these segments. Who is the best hitter since the beginning of 2017? He says J.D. Martinez.
My takeaway also is he uses a lot of nicknames.
Who did?
Frank Thomas. Miggy?
Yeah.
Goldie?
Yeah.
Paul Goldschmidt?
Oh, in my story?
No, in his quotes.
Oh, in his quotes.
Yeah.
What he said, because I actually asked him, so anyway, Frank Thomas says this about J.D. Martinez. I see J.D. Martinez, and he's not easy to interview. He's a good interview, but he's like Chris Hill. He's always running around doing something. So I grabbed him. I said, one question. I don't know if you saw this. Actually, it's two questions. Did you see this? He said, yes, I did. And who do you think the best hitter is? He said, all time or right now? Both. Okay. He said, Miggy. And it's like, didn't know who he was talking about. And Miguel Cabrera. He thought that was all time, the best at that peak performance. That was him. I would disagree with it, but whatever. And then right now, Joey Votto. All right, I would disagree with it, but whatever. But what was interesting was his response, his quotes, which were basically saying that it's nice to be recognized because MLB only recognizes the guys they want to recognize, and it has not been me. I mean, that's paraphrasing what he said.
But that's what he said. That's when he mentioned Goldie, because he said in Arizona, anytime they played together, anytime Goldschmidt would do something, MLB blew it up. And it feels like, I don't know if it's MLB or... maybe it's a media thing in general, talking national media now. Because the other one that I'm blanking whether it was ESPN or someplace else, I think it was ESPN, said that Mike Trout could have one of the best seasons ever, right?
Yeah.
And then you look, and Mookie Betts is better than him in almost every statistical category.
Right, I mean,
so why isn't that story written about Mookie Betts?
Remember how sacrilegious it was when the Red Sox went to Anaheim, and I was one of these people who wrote the Mookie Betts, Mike Trout thing. But you have the Keith Laws of the world. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? Well, we dare. Yes, Mookie Betts has not done it since 2012. You have to get past that. What he's doing now is on par with Mike Trout. And so this is one of the quotes that J.D. Martinez told me yesterday. To me, baseball has their guys, and they're going to advertise them. It's not, if you're not one of them, you better walk on water. And the responses I got on social media from that were people, yeah. And I think that's sort of the road you were going down. And J.D. Martinez mentions MLB Twitter account, their Instagram account, MLB Network, clearly paying attention. Clearly this is a narrative. And I can't disagree with, I couldn't disagree with Frank Thomas saying that, because if you look at the numbers, he is one of the best hitters, if not the best hitter, in the last year and a half. But I can't disagree with the other part about it either. Like, J.D. Martinez, now, he says, like, people are wondering who was this guy asking all for all this money. I think we knew he was a King Kong of slug because Scott Boras said so. But But I think that overall, for a guy who's done what he's done over the last 3 years, he hasn't been identified like Frank Thomas.
I don't know how many times I did the side-by-side comparison of J.D. Martinez and Giancarlo Stanton over the last 4 years. Because one of them got a tremendous amount of buzz. The other guy was a free agent until the 11th hour when the Red Sox signed him. He didn't get nearly the kind of money that, forget about that, Stanton got that he wanted when he initially went into free agency and talked about what kind of contract he was looking for. I don't even think they're the same hitter. JD's a better hitter.
Oh,
statistically,
it's not
close.
No, not even a question.
And Stanton hit 59 home runs last year, so obviously that generates a tremendous amount of buzz, and MLB pushed that forward quite a bit to the point, and it was a national media thing too. All of his at-bats, when they moved him up to the top of the order to get him extra at-bats, then they're cutting in to whatever they're broadcasting to watch Giancarlo Stanton at-bats. Is he going to hit 60? That sort of thing, I think, creates the image, along with the contract that he'd already signed, that this guy is the preeminent premier power hitter in baseball, period, end of story. And when you match him up side by side with Martinez, you see statistically that is in point of fact wrong.
Yes.
That is just wrong.
But it goes back to what J.D. Martinez said. He is right. And Goldschmidt is another example.
Now, Goldie.
Goldie and Miggy, Miggy was getting all the attention. Goldie wasn't getting any of it. And so he's right. And even if we're talking about this team, this year so far, Mookie Betts deserves all the credit and all the attention in the world. He's a dynamic player, and he's one of the few players where you might say, oh, he's MVP over J.D. Martinez. But you would agree, Chris, I think, that J.D. Martinez has not gotten the attention he deserves for the year that he's having, maybe in part because everyone's focusing on Mookie Betts.
Yeah, and that's probably a big part of it. But the only time that J.D. even got a ton of attention around here was the first week when he struggled. And that's it. And then he snapped out of it.
Until you predicted a home run.
I predicted a home run. Really, I deserve a lot of the credit for what J.D. Martinez has been able to do. But no, since he broke out of that, can we call it a slump? It was six games. But the first seven games, we were taking the phone calls of, well, is this guy going to be a bust? What's he going to? No, all he's done anywhere he has gone is hit. That is it. And he's done it better than Giancarlo Stanton.
And he's doing it, by the way, in Boston.
And now, Mookie Betts is doing it better than Mike Trout.
Yes, yes. And J.D. Martinez is doing it in Boston. The whole Boston thing hasn't affected him. He's the exact same player, if not better, than what they signed up for or what we were promised. And because I know you love the Goldie talk, I am going to read this quote.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Lay it on me.
Me and Goldie used to laugh about it in Arizona because whenever somebody would do something good, MLB would blow it up. They would put it on their Instagram, put it on Twitter, put it on MLB Network. ESPN would talk about it. Me and Goldie would be like, didn't you do that 2 days ago and no one said anything? We would just laugh about it. Goldie would hit three home runs in a game, and it would be like, oh, Goldie hit three home runs. But one of these other guys, it would be monumental. That's kind of the way it's always been. Goldie, Goldie, Goldie.
A lot of Goldie.
Poor Goldie.
Media stars.
Oh, yes.
Coming up next, here from Fenway Park. Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, back to Bradford, Drellick, and Villani on Sports Radio WEEI.
By the way,
why come they didn't play this at the Royal Wedding
I
yesterday?
Was just going to say that. Copyright laws. We should have been paid. I think they did play at the Royal Wedding. And I think we have secured the rights to those horns. They owe us money.
When the horses were trotting down the street, I think that's what they were playing.
Yes, the royal family owes this show money.
We are going after the Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
But maybe, who knows? Maybe we're going to placate them and make them a media star. Who knows?
Could be.
I will
sweeten the pot.
Spoiler alert. None of those people who went to London to cover that event, that blessed event, are going to win media stuff.
And that was the thing that I was, my biggest takeaway from the whole wedding thing was thinking about the people that are doing essentially play-by-play for it. Like, how would you call the wedding? Like, and they're married.
We're going to find out next Sunday.
Going in for the kiss. It'll be very similar for the old-timers game.
Okay. All right, here we go. Media stars.
Let's do it.
Number three.
There it is.
Thank you. A little rusty. Sorry. After currying favor with part of my family last week, I will continue the trend and give the number three media star to my wife, Jen.
Den?
As Jen.
Den.
J-E-N. Who, forget the, what was the other thing?
Yanni?
Yanni and
Laurel.
And Laurel. Forget that.
What did you hear, Laurel or Yanni?
Laurel.
I heard Laurel also.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
I didn't think so either.
So the Jen versus Den controversy. What was that?
It was you saying Den.
Jen. Yeah. Play it again. Play the Jen.
Jen.
Right. What do you hear?
I hear Jen.
Jen.
Yeah.
Jen, and this was from the Awaken, the Great Awaken 180 ad.
But I also know her name is not Den Bradford.
I know. But what is that from? Ryan, what is that from?
You didn't hear that's it's the same thing as the Laurel and Yanni. That's Kirk doing the
Oh, that's Kirk. Yes. That's Kirk. Okay. Okay. It's the guy who went on record as saying that I am a great broadcaster in 2013. We have proof.
I think he's distanced himself from that opinion since then.
And once you say it, that's your initial response. That's your guttural feel about the situation.
Okay.
Anyway, Jen Bradford, congratulations on being on the commercial. She's integrating into the world of commercials, and she's doing a great job on Awaken 180. And she also gave us something that was better, much better than Laurel and Yanni. So, Jen Bradford.
Which family member is going to get a media star next week?
I don't know. There's a few in the mix.
Okay.
My son's home.
My cousin.
My other son's going to go to Ghoul's Distinctive Clothing for a suit for two media star. Oh, we have to shorten it up. That is our good friend Mike Petraglia. Trags. At Trags, as we know. And
love Trags.
And Trags is probably sitting there. I know he's an avid listener of the show, saying, what did I do? I do so much well, but I didn't really do anything that might distinguish myself. Well, Trags took the bullet for the entire media after Game 2 at the press conference for the Celtics. And that was when LeBron James and Kevin Love were up there, and everyone's asking LeBron. And then he's like, I'm going to leave if no one asks a question of Kevin Love. Trags is the guy who asked the Kevin Love question. And I just, Trags, this is, you know, somebody had to do it. Trags did it for us, did it for the entire media, and that is truly what the spirit of Media Stars is all about, is standing up for the rest of your brethren, and that's what Trags did. So congratulations, Trags, that number two media star.
By the way, this guy Matt on Twitter, and I agree with him, he says he wants to dig up last year's Media Star horns. I liked them better also.
Ryan, what do you think?
I can't find them anywhere. I mean, I can't find them
from the internet.
No. We have real musicians that play these horns.
Yeah,
we got to shorten it because we pay them for each.
We paid for the musicians, and we also lost the copyright laws on the old ones. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Okay, patent ran out.
Yes, it came from a Flavor Flav song back
Fair
in
enough.
1988. Number one media star. Did we get the horns?
Oh, my God. You and these horns. What, a kazoo, too? Like, what else do you need?
This is going to surprise a lot of people. Mm. It surprised a lot of people last week when my mom won, and I thought she was well-deserving. And you know that this guy had to do something to really get this award because he had basically been banned from the award, and that is our good friend Evan Drellick.
What?
Evan Drellick.
He's not even here.
I know. And maybe this is part of sympathy because he is sick.
He called out, quote-unquote, sick.
He's sick. He's in the hospital.
He's not.
He's hooked up to IVs.
He's fine.
Hey, Chris,
he has the sniffles.
I assume that if he's not here, you better be in the hospital. Because if you did something, this is, say, hypothetically, you did something like at 8:30 saying, can you guys do the show without me? I don't feel that good.
Hypothetically?
Is this hypothetically that happened? That would probably be unacceptable.
I wasn't even on that call.
I know.
Just called you?
No, it's to say hypothetically.
It came
via a text. It wasn't even a call.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, Evan.
And John Farrell's father once. He was a lobsterman.
That's the stuff media stars are made of.
I can't ignore. Listen, Evan was the one who called the Blake Swihart's agent, got the comment from Blake Swihart's agent about him wanting to be traded. Agent, I don't know why the agent said anything. It's sort of baffling to me what the payoff for that was. But Blake Swihart ends up talking about it, became a conversation for a couple days. And really, there's nothing else to lean on. And Evan's sick. So there you go, Evan. You win your media star. Congratulations.
All right, Evan Drellick, is he going to get his Gould Distinctive Clothing gift card?
Yes.
Because I still haven't gotten mine.
Well, I have it in my pocket every time right now.
Still have not gotten mine.
I will get it for you.
Okay.
Maybe if you win again, you can get two.
Wait. I thought you could only win once.
No,
now you're changing the rules?
No, you can win.
Oh, I haven't been trying to do anything these last several weeks, well, because what's the point?
That was the whole purpose of this, is to make people try harder.
I would have made my case.
For what? Oh, gosh.
I had a story that got picked up worldwide, for crying out loud, about the guy who got arrested at Burger King, the homeless man who got arrested at Burger King trying to buy breakfast with a $10 bill. They accused him of using counterfeit money. He got arrested, ended up spending 3.5 months in jail, and then somebody finally looked at the bill from the Secret Service and said it was real.
And how's that?
Now he's suing.
What's that have to do with sports?
Nothing.
That's pathetic.
Thank you.
They're media stars, not sports media stars.
They are assumed sports media stars.
Well, now you're changing the rules.
I do enjoy the animosity that Chris Villani has toward the whole process, yet, when he's going for it, when he's going for the media stars and he feels slighted, then all of a sudden it becomes a big deal.
Now I'm going to have to try.
That's the whole purpose.
Okay, we'll
see
what happens.
You're like fake ombudsman.
We'll wrap things up on the other side. Congratulations, as I always say, to all the media stars and to the community at large. Villani and Bradfo, we finish things next. Sports Radio WEEI.
Now it's time for Rod Bradford, Evan Drellick, and Chris Villani on Sports Radio WEEI.
Got a few minutes left before we get out of here, but this hour is brought to you by NewEnglandFatLoss.com. We're broadcasting live from our WEEI Old Dominion Freightline Centerfield studios at Fenway Park, and we've done it without Evan Drellick the entire
time. It's a miracle. I was going to say it's amazing, but it's more of a miracle.
Okay, you kind of changed course there midway through.
It's good. I am looking forward to next week, and I hope you are there, Chris. We are going to be in the broadcast booth, broadcasting the old timers. Sorry, Steve Buckley, not the old time baseball game.
Right, that is trademarked.
The old timers baseball game, the alumni game.
Yeah, they're kindly calling it the alumni game.
Yeah,
the Red Sox are. They've billed it as an alumni.
It's not
game.
A bad group. I'm already doing my research for it. Not a bad group.
We agree that Oil Cam Boyd is going to take it the most seriously.
Yes, Johnny Gomes might.
Who do you think is going to be the best?
Johnny Gomes might be.
I mean, you get a couple of guys that aren't too far removed from their playing
days. I mean, Johnny Gomes wanted to play as of early last year, I think.
So. Yeah, he lost his glove. We call that a yard sale right there.
Yeah, see? maybe we can mic him up.
That'd be perfect,
we're going to do something with Lou. I think we're going to bring down the wireless mic. Something along those lines.
Yeah, we can mic him up.
But who is going to be the best? The best. Wade Boggs could potentially take this very serious. If you go back to YouTube and look up some of these games, like I said, Ted Williams is so serious. He's facing like 80-year-old Ralph Prank.
Doesn't matter.
And he's like, he's arguing with the umpire. And
what about Pedro?
I don't think it'll take it serious.
No. I mean, some of these guys aren't too far removed. Like, we were talking about the last one in 1993. You had Jim Rice playing in an alumni game in 1993.
Yeah.
So, a Hall of Fame player.
He was like 3 years out?
Yeah, a few years removed, not only from his playing days, but only a handful of years removed from being the best hitter in the American League.
Here's the question that I didn't get a good answer for, and maybe you have to tune in to find out. Who's catching? There's no catchers. Well, that's a.
I'm looking at the list now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can Scott Cooper catch?
I guess he could.
Rich Garces?
Yeah. Well, there you go. So one of the many mysteries of this game, which will be answered.
Put Dewey back there, Dwight Evans? No.
Sure. Tion?
Why not?
Absolutely.
They're the managers. Evans and Tion are the managers.
Yeah. So I look forward to that. I know that Evan is really looking forward to it because he never gets a chance to do anything.
I think it would be kind of like the old the Monday Night Football, Al Michaels,
that.
Dan Fouts, Dennis Miller.
Who is who?
I think you can figure out pretty quickly who is who.
Who is Dennis Miller? Evan?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm Dan Fouts?
You're Dan Fouts.
Okay. I don't like that. Can I be someone else?
Yeah, you got the short end of the stick on that one, admittedly,
really.
But I think you're Dan Fouts.
And you're Al Michaels.
I'm Al Michaels, of course, yes. Well, I'm the play-by-play guy, so that's obvious.
Congratulations. You have also done Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I called the 2009 HHF U18s in Fargo, North Dakota. Same thing.
How should we do this? Let's take this on the air.
I got to decide whether I'm going to be...
No, let's just assume. Let's assume okay. That you're there, okay? You were doing the three-man booth. How will you do this? Do you do it straight? Do you do... You know,
can't do it.
No. I know, no, not totally straight. Yeah. But do you do it straight, and then Evan does his wacky stuff, and I'm somewhere in between?
Well, that's what... Al Michaels, Dan Fouts, and Dennis
Dan
Miller
Fouts
would do.
It's not good. I would be someone else other than Dan Fouts.
Maybe it'll be a better version of Dan Fouts.
A better version of Dan Fouts. But I think that it's important to bring up interesting facts about Keith McCorder, right?
He is playing.
Yeah,
maybe he'll catch.
I didn't just say randomly that you bring interesting facts. So I think there is a market for this, though. The Celtics, I don't think, are scheduled to play the night before.
No.
No. Or that maybe the night.
I think
though.
They're playing that day.
Yeah. So whatever. It's already been talked about. This is a momentous occasion on this field. It's only three innings. That's the thing that stinks.
Yeah, it's three innings. Well, they're starting at 10:30, and it's a 1:07 first pitch,
even
so they've got to get out of there.
Even the media game, we get 3 hours.
I guess they could have started a little earlier, but you think these guys wanted to stay out there for 3 hours?
No, but I want somebody to take it serious, though. I don't want them to be like, laughing
now,
and fawn.
Now, with some of these guys, do you think there's going to be a trouble identifying them?
Keith McCorder?
Well, I mean, some of these guys, if they're a few years
removed
from
their... Oh, you're
talking
about not looking anything like they used
to.
Yeah,
exactly. I haven't seen Troy O'Leary in a long time.
There was that 86. That was rough. Some of those 86 guys, when they rolled back a couple years ago, that was rough. And there's been some challenging ones. Yeah, you think so?
I think there might be.
Are you already questioning your play-by-play ability?
I'm going to have to get a good...
Which is more difficult, the Russians or this?
I'm going to borrow Tim Neverett's Bob Carpenter scorebook.
Ooh.
That I know he probably has. And get that out there and fill out my lineup card. I think Lenny DiNardo could be a sneaky
good
player.
Oh, yeah, he's in shape. He's drinking the apple cider vinegar.
That's all that comes down to for me. Who's still in shape, who was just playing recently. I think DiNardo and Johnny Gomes.
He randomly told me he drinks shots of apple cider vinegar. You win if you do that.
He's going to do that on the field before he takes the mound. Rob, pleasure as always.
Always.
Catch you tomorrow night.
Oh, yes, that's tomorrow.
We can do this exact same thing tomorrow evening.
I'll be just as riled up.
Celtics pregame. It'll be exciting.
All right.
Great job by Ryan Garvin back in our studio. Doug Lane for helping us out here at Fenway Park, and Evan Drellick for not showing up. Thoughts and prayers to Drellick, and hope he feels much, much better. I'm Chris Villani. Red Sox baseball with Kerosene Ken starts up next. Have a great Sunday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.